Welcome to the official podcast of A Conscious Partner. Our initiative is bringing affordable access to relevant information for anyone in search of impactful self-development. ACP specializes in hosting growth workshops, which bring awareness to the most important topics in life. It's a place for everyone and anyone to come together with the goal of gradually culminating our own security in a fun, safe environment. And now with our hosts, Bruce Doherty, Jaggy, and Dr. Giselle Tennant, let's get into today's discussion.
Okay, well, welcome back, everybody, to A Conscious Partner. I'm trying to do it in a way so Bruce doesn't make his eyeballs at me.
Yeah, the people listening on the
YouTube?
I don't even know what the words are anymore. What do you call it when they listen just on the sound?
The podcast.
I can't say the radio. What is it?
It's the podcast.
It's a podcast.
Well, people listening on the podcast will not see your eyes.
So podcast can't be video?
Well, that's technically our YouTube channel for the podcast. Yes. So they're watching our YouTube channel.
Podcast can be video, can it not?
So it looks like,
I mean, yes.
Well, so it's not really a podcast. It's a, what is the radio?
Well, that's the thing. So, well,
are we having a podcast about the podcast?
Or? Yeah, right.
Anyway, what are we going to talk about today?
Oh, we're going to talk about...
This is number what? Number six.
Yes. Yeah. So, hello, listeners.
We're six episodes in. That's crazy. Yeah.
We're going to talk about barriers. Barriers to growth.
Yeah.
Because it's... Well,
it's important, and it's probably something that a lot of us are... I mean, that's a lot of the listeners we're trying to attract obviously have some sort of barrier to growth because we're still trying to attract them. It's hard to get them in, right?
Well, that's the interesting thing because at the events, people go, oh, I'm telling everybody about this stuff. I'm telling everybody
to come out. But that's the thing is people do tell everybody about it.
They do. They tell everybody they know. Mm-hmm. They go, please come out. And people really struggle to come out to this. So why are they not coming out? What's the fear? Yeah.
Well, we know that first of all, awareness. Right? First of all, they might think, well, I don't need this. I'm fine. Even though they're not.
Yeah.
Right? They're not. Or they don't know. There's that fear. Well, I don't know what this is about. So maybe it's not for me. So there are those things. But once they're aware of it,
they know. Yeah.
Then they know. And then it's going to be into, well, I'm kind of contemplating going to this, but I don't have time, right?
Yeah.
It's always about
because there's that initial fear, and then they come out for a couple times, and then there's like a 2 to 4, maybe it's only 3, 2 to 3, they come out 2 to 3 times, and then we lose them because it's almost like they're afraid of the changes that are needing to also then occur. Do you know what I mean? So it's like the initial people coming in and then the people that get scared after they realize, oh shit.
Yeah.
There's a lot more here than I
think. Exactly.
That's why I have a feeling that the people who stay, they may have done a little bit of work and they were searching for something.
Yeah.
And then they're like very happy that, oh my God, finally.
Well, they accomplished something. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Right? And they can see that it's going to help them.
Yeah.
Whereas people who have that fear, they're like, this is a little bit too much for me.
This is pointing the fingers.
Like, And I'm not ready yet to do that. Right?
Yeah, you need to be ready. Yeah. You need to want to do it.
Yeah.
Have to put some effort behind it. There has to be some desire. But I think you said, Giselle, many times that we have to reach a bottom, right? We have to reach a crisis moment often before we go, okay, I need to make a change.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be nice to start making those changes before that crisis moment?
Well, I know. That's the hard part. It's like, oh, well, my life is fine. You know, everything's fine.
That's right.
And why do I need to change anything? Because they get comfortable. Yeah. It's the comfortable shell.
Yeah, it's really easy to stay in the status quo.
No, but theoretically, and I tell people that too, if you're happy, then you're good.
Right.
Like, don't change anything if you're happy. Mm-hmm. But just be careful that you're not just coasting through.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Are you living up to your full potential?
That's right.
Or a thing, or there's something. That's the thing is, it's hard for me to imagine a person that doesn't have something holding them back. I don't know.
Well, most people do, and it depends on the area of their lives, right?
It
could be that, okay, I'm just going to focus on work, and I'm doing really well at work, but my personal life is really lousy, but I'm not going to focus
on that. But they're okay because they have... Right.
Yeah.
So they could have something really great going on in another area, which provides enough distraction from the areas that maybe they don't want to focus on.
Well, you can stay busy. I mean, people have kids. Yes. People have jobs. People have work.
Right.
You know, people have sports. They have hobbies. They have interests. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to go... spend the time in the outdoors. One thing about growth, and everybody tells us this, how many people have said it to us, that wow, I wish I would have started this when I was 20.
Right.
And then there's quite a popular saying out there that, like, the best time to start was 20 or 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. The second best time is today.
Yeah. Right. 100%.
Yeah. Like, literally, that's the second best time is start now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But what are the barriers? I just got a list here in front of me. Let's start with, how does fear come into play? What are they scared of? What are people scared of?
Oh, my gosh. Well,
scared of having to change what they're doing, and also scared of the unknown.
Well, yeah.
Right?
It is the unknown, but it's also, like, the fact that they may have been doing things not the right way for so long. Like, the fear of, it's like a pride or ego thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
That comes up a little later.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we're not there yet.
Well, you can go there.
Because, I'm trying to think back to, like, because, again, I didn't have this until after, right? Because I was living not with this information up until, like, what, like, 22, 23, maybe, I think.
Let me come up with that. I'll give you an analogy. Mm-hmm. I like analogies, as you know. Think of growth, or think of it as anything. You can think of your life as a house, and you've got all these rooms in your house.
Right.
And, you know, you're living comfortably in your house. You've got your living room, your kitchen, and everything's organized and structured. But you know what? You've got a room. Maybe it's the basement, or maybe it's a back corner room, and it's stuffed full of garbage.
Right.
It's all the garbage that you've been hiding all your life. And you know what? You don't really want to go in that room.
Yeah.
Because you open the door and it bumps up against something, and then the light bulb's out, and you're looking in there, and do I really want to go in and clean up that room? No, I don't. And so you kind of just shut the door, and you go, I'm just going to leave it like that. Now, the problem is, do you end up getting another room starting to fill up?
Right, because they haven't learned how to deal with the problems from the last room, so it's almost like the last room kind of
starts overflowing.
And there's no more room in the other room,
so I have to start putting stuff in another room.
Right,
now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then, you know, you kind of... And I want you to think about that. So if your mind is that room, or that house, then when you invite somebody into your house... Now you have a room you can't use and you can't give them access to either. So now you have less room in your house and you're hiding this stuff.
Yep.
No, don't go in that room. Because that's the scary room.
Yep. 100%.
That's the scary part of my mind that I don't really want to expose.
Well, because they don't understand.
That's right. And for the person, it's like, okay, well, what are you hiding?
Yeah.
Right? So now you're not really being
offended. Yeah, like, why are you afraid?
Because it's like, okay, well, I want to see what's behind that door and you're not letting me.
Right.
Right.
And then, I don't know, one of the things I just thought of, like, was, it was almost fear of, like, so we, maybe there's that fear of that part of it, but what if it's then fear, because, like, once you're on this path, you can't really get off the path. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, once you start to become aware, you can recognize your brain, you're not going to ever make the same decision again. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to handle the situation differently, because I know that there's a better way that I can handle it. So it's like, you are automatically pushed onto that path of just, like, striving to be always doing your best.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's a hard thing to commit to if we haven't committed to that already.
But I think the difficult thing though is that people might feel like, well, I don't have the tools. I don't know how. Like I know I need to change, but I don't know how. We just don't have the tools to do it.
We had this conversation yesterday at the event of so many people want the help, but it's just not accessible in a way we can use it. So we started talking about books.
Right.
And how, well, no, there's lots of information out there. Yes, there is.
Yeah, but well, there is.
Is it? Is it handy for a couple to sit down and read a book together? Right? So you're both reading a book from your perspective without any other feedback. You get the book's perspective, but that's not live, right? You get no feedback from that.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're trying to interpret what they mean and not able to ask questions.
Yeah, unless the book is very clear with some activities that you can do.
I was going to say, like,
homework,
devil's advocate, like, you could technically be like, okay, let's read this and have a conversation about it. But at the same token, you still are not dealing with the obstacle of if you don't know how to communicate with your partner and have these hard conversations, then you're not going to be able to do that after reading the book. Whereas, like, at the live event, someone else will say what you're thinking or the opposite point of view.
That's right. Sorry.
Yeah. And then it's said and you didn't have to say it. And it's like, oh shit, she thinks the way I do. How are we going to respond to this now?
Right.
And it's like, you're learning.
Yeah.
You didn't have to be vulnerable, but you're still learning, right?
That's right. And then you're also saying that, okay, well, maybe your partner's right.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe you can have that realization.
Because someone else is thinking the same way. So maybe there's some truth in that.
Yeah,
right?
100%. It's just, there's less pressure almost, which is helpful in terms of growth. Because growth is, there's already pressure there.
But I want to go back to the room analogy in that. we're scared to go in that room because there's all that crap in there. But we got to remember that we put all that stuff in there many years ago. Like, it's been a long time since it's in there.
From our childhood.
And we didn't know how to deal with it back then. Right. That's why it's in that room.
Yeah.
And the whole point of it, and that's why we're, I mean, it's not finalized yet, but we're thinking about some kind of name for the program. It's called Spotlight or something. Yeah. I would like to come up with that name that says, let's just shine a light on this stuff.
No, I like that. Yeah.
Let's,
yeah, I
do like Spotlight. Let's open the door and just start digging through, because we're going to realize this stuff isn't as scary as we think it is.
No, it's just our own fear.
We're scared of it because we were scared of it when we were kids or when we were younger. But now that we've matured, we can look at this stuff, and it's no different than when we go into a room in our house with a bunch of junk in it. We look at it and go, why am I saving this? And why? Why have I have this?
Yeah, and we have to know that it's going to take time. Because as you're going through the stuff in the room, you might find something, and sometimes you'll spend a little bit of time, and, oh, look at this picture.
Yeah, it'll trigger that nostalgia.
Nostalgia. So if you're ready, though, in your mind, you know that it's going to take time. It's not going to, I mean, how many times we've said, okay, we're going to clean a room in our house, and then realize we make more of a mess.
Initially,
So it's just to go, you know, little by little, and this is why, you know, you're taking steps. Yeah. It's a journey.
Right? While you're letting, again, you're cleaning out that room with each growth shop. Okay, you're taking this puzzle piece. Let's dust it off, figure that one out. Okay, now we take this one out. Oh, we're getting a little more picture there. Oh, okay, now I'm excited. What's the next puzzle piece I'm going to figure out?
I see more room. It's like, oh, I can see the wall.
Oh my God, right? There's a space there.
Well, the other thing, if you think about it, you might see something and it goes, well, this might work, but I'm missing the other part for it.
Right.
And that's like the events, right? We go, I don't really understand this. Oh, but now I've got this other part. Now I can get this lamp to work because now I got both parts.
Yeah.
Or there's something that you have to let go.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, what? I have not used this in forever. It's not
serving me. This is not benefiting me.
It's not benefiting me.
Just taking up space.
I need to let it go.
Yeah.
Which is really difficult.
100%.
Yeah.
So really, that's where fear comes in. We're scared of stuff in that room. You know, we might run across a few dead rodents.
But we can get rid of those.
But we have to make that decision of do we want, especially if we're going to allow somebody else in our lives, we have to have all the empty rooms because we need the space to let them into our house.
Yeah.
And they need the space to let us into their house. And we need all the rooms.
Or you just start filling up each other's rooms.
Because that's the biggest thing.
Because all crap just overflows gigantically.
I've got a messy room. Yeah. You've got two messy rooms.
Like, how the hell are we going to do that?
Let's move together.
You have a little bit of space there. Can I put my stuff?
Can I put my junk in your room?
Yeah.
And you're like, 100%.
No. No, that's hard.
So that's the baggage people are talking about.
Okay, so I like that's a great analogy.
Yeah,
and a great way to talk about fear. So that's one of the barriers.
What about denial?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, obviously, that's a big one.
Well, yeah, of course. Well, and it, you know, it all stems to, okay, well, if I deny, then I don't have to take care of it, right?
Which comes from that, like, victim mindset.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right? It's like, no, I'm fine, right? I don't need to change anything. Because if I have to be aware of what I'm doing it, again, as you said, with the ego, but it might mean that, well, you know, I'm doing something wrong, and I don't want to admit that maybe I've made mistakes in my life, and I need to change things, right?
So, but that's what we do at so many of the events, though, is we tell people, you didn't make any mistakes. You made none.
No, there were lessons.
But you maybe didn't learn your lesson back then.
That's right.
You didn't learn it yet. Right. That's why
you're still having the
reoccurring. That's why it keeps going.
Yeah,
keeps going.
But we don't make any mistakes, and that's what we try to convey at the events so much, is that these are not places where we go to beat each other up.
No.
These are places where we go, look, you didn't make a mistake. You did the best you could with the information you had at the time. And people go, yeah, but I could have made a different decision. And I go, yes, you could have made a different decision.
Could have, should
have, would have. But who says that decision would have led to a better result?
Well, exactly. Right. We don't know. But with hindsight, that's what we think, Oh, I should have done that. When you get on,
all ties back into that negative self-talk and the self-defeating thoughts. Like, they allow themselves, or we allow ourselves to, like, get into that spiral and have it affect us. Yeah. So, I mean, again, self-love is at play here as well.
It's a lot easier to do a lot of negative self-talk than positive self-talk.
Of course.
We've been wired.
It's really easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, every event we it's forgiveness.
And the negative bias, another big one. It's going through all, doing the Being Happy program right now. It's just like bringing all this stuff back up again.
Is that making a difference?
Well, because it all ties, man. It just makes sense. Yeah. Like, the negative self-talk, the negative bias, the just... the boundary setting, the everything. Like, it's all tied in. Like, it...
Yeah, what event did you do last week? Was it boundary?
Last week was gratitude.
Oh, gratitude, yeah.
So that's a negativity bias.
Yeah, yeah, that's such an amazing event.
Yeah. 100%.
Well, they're all amazing.
Yeah,
they're all amazing.
As we say that. Yeah, we say that all the time. Well, they are so valuable. Like, everybody, even I did relationship killers this week, and everybody was just blown away. Mm-hmm. I had to help some people through it, because there's some people that hadn't been up to many events. And just so everybody's aware when you're listening, we really recommend you do the foundation events first, because, it, first of all, it gives you a nice foundation that they're eye-opening, but they're not terribly triggering. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just,
eye-opening. And you know more about, like, yourself, so it's like, okay, now I know my attachment style, like, my core values, I know my personality.
It's about understanding yourself, and then I understand what love is. And when you take the foundation events, then you have kind of, you understand how we do things, you understand how people interact, and you get more comfortable with growth, because you're starting to realize some stuff about yourself. Sometimes people come out to one of the main events, and Relationship Killers this weekend was one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we go through 100 potential relationship killers very fast.
A lot of heavy stuff.
People's eyes were just going, oh my God, I had no idea I was doing these things. Like, one person out of 100, they were doing 66 of them.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's heavy. Yeah, that's a heavy realization.
And that's the self-awareness we had, right?
And they're going, well, and that's the thing is, you know, you look at the list, and not any one of them you might be doing to the level of really obvious. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, you might be doing... you know, of them on a level 3 or 4 or 5, which isn't enough to that one item to kill your relationship. But if you're doing 30 of them at various levels, your partner is going to give up.
It's a lot to handle,
at some point. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get frustrated. And they have some relationship killers, too. So now they've got 20 or 30, and you've got 20
together,
or 30.
Together, you have all of
together,
these.
You have quite a mess going on.
Yeah.
And if we can, and everybody was just so surprised this week when... they looked at the list and went, I see the ones that I know I can change. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some that'll be harder to change, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. You have to change everything, but just look at the ones you can change and then be conscious about it.
Well, and that's where the awareness comes into play, right? And this is why at our events, when we do all those little tests and people are finding out, oh my God, this is what I need to change. And that's so key. So again, if we go back to barriers, like, one of the barriers of not knowing what I need to change.
Right.
Right. And not being aware that what discovery. I'm doing is a relationship.
Yeah.
Well, that's the denial part too. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Right? We're talking about you're in denial. Yeah. Like, I actually had someone text me yesterday and saying, oh, this horrible thing happened. Do you have time for a phone call? And with something had happened, and they wanted to blame their neighbors, blame the person who stole their kids' bike. You know, and then you can't control the fact that someone came in or somebody let the door open or anything like that. But how do you react to it? How do you respond to it?
Yeah.
Right? And then they realize that, okay, I'm looking at this really negatively, and I'm wanting to put blame under something that I have no control over, instead of, and the kid was fine. It's like, oh, well, I guess they stole the bike,
so
we're making a big deal out of it, and they realize, oh, this is, and they said, well, this is kind of what I do in my life, right? Always blaming others instead of,
so it's a good, again, so it's one of those moments that,
that's right.
Well, that's an actual classic sign of defensiveness.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When you're blaming somebody else, you're being defensive.
It's defensive,
that's
right.
And you're also, well, you're breaking so many rules when you do that. But.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
But it was interesting to see the awareness, and it's like, okay, now I need to shift and reframe.
We had a conversation yesterday, and it'd be interesting to see what you guys think. We brought up, we had responsibility in one of the topics. Mm-hmm. And I brought up the concept of radical responsibility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is, I'm taking 100% accountability for everything that has happened in my life. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what it is. And people get a little shocked by that. They go, well, I'm not responsible if somebody, you know, a drunk driver hits my car. I went, okay, well, but you were responsible for getting in your car and driving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And and there's bad luck involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was still your choice.
But I made a choice to get in my car, knowing that there's a risk in going on the road.
Inherent risk. Risk we are all aware of. Yes. We're taking the risk by getting in a vehicle and getting on the road.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm responsible for that. And that's what radical responsibility is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we can take, and I'm not suggesting that that's easy to do. I'm not suggesting you do it.
No.
I'm just talking about the theory of it.
Yeah.
The theory of it is as close as you can get to taking complete responsibility for everything that's happened. Like, somebody's brought up the fact, well, what about somebody has a disease? Okay, well, we can't control, you know, things that are completely out of our control. But then then you shouldn't blame anybody for that. That's just bad luck.
Well, yeah. But we also don't know why the disease was caused. Yeah. Was it genes? Was it something you were doing? Was it like...
Are you genetically predisposed to that? Or is it because you're not eating well?
And, if it is predisposed, like if it is something that just came onto you, then this is your life. Yeah. So take responsibility for it. Like this is the thing that you... This is your reality. So how can you live your life now?
My reality is I have to live with this disease. Yes. And
how do I manage it?
How do I manage it? How do I make my life as good as possible?
Some other person has to live with no leg. The person has to live with whatever, and we're all going to die at some time.
Yeah. Yep. And what's interesting is that you can have two people with the same disease, and one person takes it well, but manages it, and it's their life, and another person keeps complaining.
Right.
And well, there's that. The entire time.
That video in gratitude.
Yeah.
Isn't that one? Gratitude?
Which one?
The one with the video of the singer at the TV show.
Oh, at the end, she had like a 2% chance. She was on, what was the show called?
America's Got Talent.
So you guys might have seen it. Yes. It was an episode that aired like a few weeks ago. But she's the singer. She had cancer. I think she was like 23 something. She was in her 20s.
Yeah,
she just came and sang. She was super stoked about being there. And like, I think at the end, this is the quote that I remember the most. She's like, I only have a 2% shot at life, but 2% is not no percent, not and I wish everyone could know how amazing it feels.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, shit. Like, she's dealing with all this crap. She got up on a stage. She sang. She's beautiful. She's smiling. Like,
yeah, the song that she wrote was really, really cool.
It was called It's Okay, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah. It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. Yeah.
Anyway,
she got to Simon.
Simon started crying.
He choked up. I think that video. And that gives you an idea of what the events are like, too. Like, we take stuff and we throw them in the events and we get people to think about things.
Real-life examples.
Once again, they're interactive. They're thinking. They're talking. It's real stuff.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to...
Yeah. So hopefully we can get through some of those barriers.
So far we've said barriers, fear.
Fear, denial.
Denial.
Defensiveness. We got into a little bit.
Yes.
Pride is another one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm too proud.
Absolutely.
Now this could be a little bit, I mean, all these could apply to guys. And if there's any guys listening, the events were designed so that you could be comfortable as a guy coming out. We're not going to bring up meditation. We're not going to bring up
gratitude. We do a little bit.
Yeah, but only from a very light perspective. Yeah. That's one thing that some people do.
Yeah,
we don't bring it up as we're not going to recommend anybody do anything. We're not going to bang any drums.
Sit there and
we're
make you
gonna,
sit.
There's no humming bowls. There's none of this stuff. We're just is sound bowl.
I don't know.
Sound bowl. As you can tell, I don't even know what it is. So.
Yeah.
I just know I don't want to do it.
I enjoy it.
And you guys are welcome to have them, right?
But no, the initial premise was to get guys out because ladies have a friend base. We have support. Yes. There's a lot of programs for us. Like, not that this doesn't also benefit us women, because it really does, but like, it was designed with men in mind to make it a safe, chill, not put you on the spot space where you can learn about basic topics in a not a feminine way.
And the thing is, we don't want people to think that we're saying that meditation,
those things are...
We're just saying that we want to find a way that's going to be very organic and easy and neutral.
Practical.
That guys are going to come and you get examples, tips that you can use in your life. And guys seem to respond to that.
Right.
Well, we actually don't... So I think what we're trying to do is make it as... We have no spin on it.
Like we're not trying to push you in any direction, no narratives.
We're just giving you information, we're sharing it, and every once in a while you get somebody who starts to go off in a direction and you got to go, no, we're not going there.
Mm-hmm.
We're just here.
We're going to respect the rules that there are, again, there are rules, I guess. Is there rules?
Because
there's a code of conduct we follow.
Yeah, it's a code of conduct,
In terms of being respectful, we're going to stay responsible. So if you start placing blame, they'll be like, no, you're placing blame.
Yeah.
So you can't do that. Or if you're thinking victim, you can't be a victim. Take responsibility. Right. Like, we'll tell you that.
I ran into the other day as we were watching. Yeah. We were doing a video. You know how we watch the videos of couples fighting sometimes. Yeah. And the one person at the event triggered on one of the ladies in the video.
Yeah.
And she said, well, she was just rude. And I went, well, okay, that's your opinion. She said, I said, but that particular behavior that she was doing, I and my personality type wouldn't have a problem with it because she was doing that really joking, funny name, you know, and it doesn't bother me.
Oh, was that the one with the champagne?
Yeah, the champagne one.
Yeah.
And she was really upset at the lady. And I said, well, see, that wouldn't bother me because I'm my personality type. I could, but it bothers him because he's that person. Right. And it bothers you because you're that person.
Right, exactly.
I said, so that wouldn't bother me. I would be very playful. I would
play back.
That's right. You would go back.
And she said, well, she was just an asshole. She said that.
I can't do that.
Hold on. I said, but I just told you that I would appreciate what she's doing.
Right.
I said, so in effect, what you're doing is calling me an asshole. And then other people had expressed the same. And I said, you've just called everybody else in the room an asshole.
I said,
and that's not what we do here.
I know.
We're not here to judge people.
But isn't that, it's showing people that you need to know who you are and why you're responding the way you're responding.
Well, the thing is she wasn't aware of the reaction.
Exactly.
Right? She didn't know. A reaction. That's the whole part about triggers is like understanding when we go from like,
right.
Open mind, neutral, you know, we're good, and then something triggers it, and now we have a bias, and we're judging, and we have to know when we get into that state, because that's going to help us. Okay, well, I shouldn't be doing that.
It's like an example with a stolen bicycle, you know, like the child and the dad, they were just fine, you know, stolen bicycle, we'll figure it out, whereas, you know, the mom is just like, oh my God, you know, it's the neighbor's fault for doing
like,
this.
Like, why am I having such a reaction?
Exactly. So
why goes back to radical responsibility? Why was the bicycle out where it could get stolen?
Exactly. 100%.
You know, when actually they came into the house and it was, they broken in, but it's just...
Oh, okay, in that case.
But it's not your fault.
Right, but that's...
Well, why did you buy a house then?
You know? like
why do you have things?
Why is the door open? Why is the noise? And we're spending all this time, you know, thinking negatively on why did this happen? Well, it all
that's
happened.
Not gonna, I know, it's not going to do anything for you. Ruminating on it is
going to
help.
What are you going to prevent it from happening again?
Obviously, that person needed the bike more than you needed the bike.
You know, how can you prevent it? Yeah, move forward.
And they're also just things. That's, I think, part of what we focus on. Oh, it's off topic. Yeah. It's off topic.
That's right. Barriers. Let's go back to barriers.
So we just covered... So pride, did we cover pride?
Pride.
Well, it's on the list. Yeah, we didn't cover it yet.
I think we did kind of cover it. I mean, that's kind of... I think it goes hand in hand with denial. You're denying because you're prideful. Is that not what it is?
Like, well, I mean, if I have pride, then I want to make sure that everything that I do is supposed to be... let's say a perfectionist, right? Everything is supposed to be done well. So if I have to be...
I take pride in my perfection.
Exactly. So then if I have to think that I need growth, then it means that I'm not doing everything and I don't know everything. So it's like...
So that's more associated with ego then.
They're very closely linked.
See, a lot of people think I'm too proud to do it. And this is where the men can run into trouble. Mm-hmm. Because, and we go through this in a number of events too, guys think that if they have to ask for help, it feels like we fail.
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
feels like we're not good enough. We're
self-sufficient,
not men.
Yes.
And that's actually, one of the reasons we're doing this, and it's designed the way it is I still want to be a masculine guy and be conscious, and I can now lead my family into consciousness rather than having to fight for them. I don't have to be that macho, aggressive guy. I can now take control of my life and help my family by learning more about myself, learning more about them.
How to communicate with them better.
No different than, and I guess I'll use you as an example, Caitlin, is I can feel like a man because I've helped my daughter improve her life, right? And I can be the leader still. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be the leader by you know, just showing you how to play ball or showing you how to...
Yeah, or being strict.
Being strict,
Or telling you how to lead your
how
life.
How to live your life,
Instead of here's showing
the tools.
You...
Those learn from tools. Your lessons and move forward.
Exactly.
So if we look at consciousness as this is just a toolbox. It's like a mechanic in a car. I don't need to teach my daughter how to you know fix the car. Mm-hmm. I can teach her how to fix her life. So I can still be that macho guy.
Mm-hmm.
The other day I was thinking of an example of, you know, how we always have like a spare tire in our car. But great, you have a spare tire, but if you don't have the right tools, let's say you have a flat and you so let's say you have the tools now, but you don't know how to use it, you're going to be stranded on the road not being able to change your tire, right?
Right, 100%.
So you need to be able to use those. You have to have the right tools and know how to use them. And sometimes
you
pride can come in the way.
No, all of it requires practice. That's why we always say it's
ongoing practice.
Ongoing journey, because every day is practice. what are we practicing for? For the moments. So the last moment, okay, I didn't do so good. What can I do the next moment?
I had, I was doing Stop the Drama. And what event was it? It was Curious or Defensive. And it was an older couple, like fantastic people. And I'm really glad they're coming out. Like they're both 75-ish. And they were struggling with their communication. And we did that event in Curious Defensive. We talk about paraphrasing, right? Where you go, and I told them about, I had heard about it. There's a group out there that said, we're going to sit and we're going to talk, but I can't talk until I paraphrase what you said to the point where you agreed with it.
Yeah.
So whatever you said, I can't express my opinion until I've paraphrased it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you would talk. That means I would have to tell you. Mm-hmm. You'd have to say, yes, that's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
Now I can talk.
Right.
So I brought that up. The next morning, I got an email from her. She said, it is like Christmas morning at our house this morning. She said, I sat him down, and we sat down because they came out together. They sat down and said, let's practice this. Because I said, just practice it in normal conversation. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be in a fight.
Yeah.
Let's just practice the skill. And she said it was unbelievable how it changed.
Because she felt heard.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And understood.
Well, but then it also, he understands and vice versa. Okay, well, so I'm hearing it, I'm understanding it. Okay, so how does my response now change to respond to what I'm understanding?
Yeah, because most people don't know how to paraphrase, right? And instead of saying, okay, can you tell me more, elaborate, or I'm hearing you say this, they'll say, okay, are you done?
Are you done yet?
I've got my answer ready
that's
and
what I'm ready. Yeah. And I don't even know what I'm answering to because I don't even understand what you just said, right? And then now, if I'm saying something, I'm getting frustrated because you didn't paraphrase, and I know you're responding to something that I didn't say. So it's really important to paraphrase. Mm-hmm. So it's great when, you know, people have those moments.
Right. That's so where did this come from?
In what sense?
This was a tangent.
Yeah.
This was a tangent off of. No, tangents are allowed. Tangents are allowed. I was just wondering where the. Yeah.
No, we started out with Pride.
Pride.
Right. And then we kind of got into
guys. We got the guys.
Oh, we got to the guys.
And then we got over there. But theoretically, that is also what Pride, if you think about it, Pride is the problem there. I'm proud. I don't want to be wrong. So I don't want to paraphrase. I want to convince you that I'm right.
Right.
That I understood the first time.
Well, yeah.
And now again, remember, we're talking about the macho masculine, but again, females can be the macho masculine.
Yeah,
and so like if you're feeling pride, no matter how you identify, then this might be something you want to tackle, right? Like,
well, you know what? And then people have to understand, where does this pride come from?
Right. Why am I trying?
From, you know, your childhood, where you're forced to always be the perfect person.
Yeah.
You have, so there's so many things to uncover. This is why it's a journey.
100%.
It's sticking,
And then the next one's not taking responsibility. And we've kind of talked about that. It's kind of like the victim status.
Yeah.
As in, it's not my fault. So why
am
I
need to
fix myself?
My life just happens to me. Yeah. I'm just going to,
How come it's always me?
It's just bad luck.
So hard to, I don't know what I was watching the other day, which is just doing research now, you know, watch TV and I'm screaming at the screen.
What are you doing?
It's like, stop blaming, take responsibility. You know, knowing
it's so hard to watch TV, lack of self-discipline.
Yeah, that kind of brings up, because I had written down, like, distractions, because we got distractions nowadays, we got, like, just let's go sit down and binge watch an entire season of something that takes up like 2-3 days of my time. Look on social media, get distracted. How much time are you like scrolling through posts, doing
and then,
everything else? Like,
you forget what you were looking for in the first place, right?
No, what the heck did I come on here for? Why am I watching this cat?
How many hours are you putting? That's the thing, is it's like time management. I have the self-discipline to know that you want to change. So where are you putting your time? Put your time into something that's actually going to bring you effect.
Yeah, and this is one of the barriers, right? Yeah. Time. Because people will say, well, I don't have time.
That's because you're not making time, dude.
Exactly. We all have the same 24
hours. We all have
time. Yet some of us do
that. I'll ask everybody.
And priorities.
Yeah.
This question is, do you have time to spend 10 years not being happy?
Right. Mm-hmm. Or 10 years not, you know, working towards the things that you want to be working towards, or losing that, you know, if you're committed to that relationship, that's not getting you anywhere. So you have time to have that 10 years of not getting you anywhere just to get out of it and be like, oh my God, this person was holding me back for like 10 years. Like,
and the person wasn't holding you back. You were holding yourself back.
But once again, if you recognize your relationship killers and they recognize their relationship killers, can you actually stop doing the relationship killers?
And then actually have a relationship.
And then actually have a relationship where 10 years from now you're going, wow, that's fantastic. So how much time can you invest in your own growth and your relationship?
Yeah. Well, it's when it comes to time, right? An example is when people say, well, oh, I'm thinking of doing this, like studying this or whatever it is they want to do. You know, it could be macrame or basket weaving, but it's going to take 3 years. Well, that's a long time. Well, 3 years from now, if you didn't start, you're still not going to know how to do basket weaving.
It's going to take 3 years to do basket weaving?
I have no idea. I'm just making this up.
I'm out.
You're out. Well, no, just to feed off that, like, you could, I think it's because we look at time so, like, I mean, so we try to say focus on the present moment, which is great. So, and people try to have that effect, but then they just think about, like, their weeks. Okay, I'm scheduling all these things.
Yes.
But they don't think about, okay, so if I only have 100 years to live, what do I want to accomplish in my 100 years? Do I want to accomplish the ability to, like, know myself, be able to control myself, and actually, like, succeed in all the areas in my life that I'm putting into? Yeah. Okay, well, so I'm going to commit to, like, I'm going to commit the time now. And I don't know. Yeah. I just feel like we think about time wrong.
Well, and also, I think that people, and I would say maybe our age, Bruce, not that you're old, but,
older than
but
me.
You know, like, people will say, well, you know, I'm old, I'm older now, so I
can't
don't have
do anything.
Time. There's no point, right?
No, but that's
thinking
your choice.
That it's not worth it. Okay,
yeah, well,
so
we're this age and we're just starting this now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it feels great because you could live another 20 years, 25
100%.
Years. Don't you want to be aware and have your best life?
I just feel like this process is just so pivotal in the human experience. Like, I think, why would we have the goal, or like, why would we have the ability to learn lessons if we weren't supposed to learn the lessons?
Yeah.
Like, what is, like, isn't that the point of the human experience? Like, we have a brain that actually can process things different from anything else on Earth, and we can control it. So why wouldn't this be the journey that we should all be on? How do we learn from our lessons? What are the, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just, it's so pivotal
in
my brain.
But some people don't get there because they, unfortunately, they think that it's superficial. It's like, well, you know, I have to learn, I have to pay my bills. I have to find work. I have a child who's sick or a parent who's sick. And they think that, well, that's really important. Not knowing that, but if you're living your best life, you're going to have all the tools. You're going to be able to take care of this in a better way.
Deal with it all.
You're
going
to be able to
so that you still maybe
that.
Have time to do the things you want to do.
Absolutely.
Because you'll have the, like, mental resilience.
But everything else will be much more efficient because you won't get dragged down.
Right. We're not going to be affected for days on end. We're not going to have months
well,
off,
you know,
weeks
and I think
off, you know.
It comes back to self-love. It's like, do I think I'm worthy enough to be able to live my best life? Right? Mm-hmm. Instead of feeling that I'm just taking care of other people and just taking care of things.
Well, it's also like, if you realize if you love yourself and you're grateful for what you have, you maybe stop chasing so much.
Well, we're going to stop chasing the things that we don't actually want. The things that maybe people are influencing us to want.
Things we think that we want.
Yeah.
Exactly. But we don't really need, and we don't need.
Yeah. I told the story yesterday to the group about this. And this has to do with that marketing and the things we don't want. Because there's the story about the 10-year-old boy. They said, what do you want for birthday? He said, I want tampons.
Okay.
Look at the boy. You want why? You're a 10. What do you do? What do you mean? You want that makes no sense. Why do you want them? And he says, well, then I can go horseback riding. I can go swimming. I can go bike riding. I can do
commercial shows.
That's hilarious.
He played with being able to do all this stuff.
That's what they're showing.
And that's what the marketing does for us, is they say, all the marketing is you're going to be happy if you
when
buy
you get
this
product.
Yeah.
And that's just such a perfect example.
And we're wiring the kid's brain to think that. And this is why, like, when they don't get what they want, you know, they think, like, it's catastrophe. They have no critical thinking. They're not able to take care of themselves.
Not that consumerism isn't important, but it's just, like, also, like, understand what you need, what you don't need. Understand where to put your money. Like,
well, and they're different than for us. Like, we're doing what we're doing. We need the cameras. We need the microphones.
Right.
They're part of the function.
Yeah.
We have to do all this stuff. But they have an effect on our overall life, on our ability to do what we want to do. Whereas, you know, some people would say I'm crazy, but I don't go on vacation very much. Well, I can't with COVID now anyway, but I get more satisfaction from doing this than I do from a trip to Mexico.
Well, yeah, because I mean, taking 2 weeks off and, you know, you go to a resort, well, you're trying to escape your life.
That is an escape from your life.
It is an escape from your life. Yeah. If you know that, okay, I'm going because I just want to be in the sun and relax, great. But if you're thinking that when you come back, you're trying to escape your
problems.
Oh, I get
to stop working for 2 weeks and I don't have to deal with anything, and then I'm going to come back and have to deal with it all again.
So then maybe you should change your work because you really, obviously you're not getting
joy. You're not happy.
Enjoy what I do every day. I like waking up in the morning. Yeah, uh-huh. I like getting down and sitting on the computer and building stuff and building events and hosting events. Yeah. And
I know some of my friends are asking, well, when are you going to retire? And I'm thinking, well, retire from what?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not going to stop living my life for as long as I live.
I love what I'm doing.
Yes.
Right? So every day 100%. I get up and they're like, you're always busy. But I enjoy what I'm doing. I want to do this.
I agree. Right? I mean, and it's a hard mindset because, again, unfortunately, like, but that's it all. It all goes hand in hand. Frizzer, it's Connor. I will do it. I'll deal with it. You guys keep talking.
Yeah, let's
Frizzer!
This is what I love about podcasts, you know? It's real life. Real
we
life.
We have real
listeners.
Life.
We have a little problem going on.
So what were we talking about? The vacation, trying to escape our lives,
escape
right?
Your lives,
instead of enjoying what you're doing now. And sometimes that could be one of the barriers too, right? It's like, if I'm looking at my life right now and I have to think about growth, it means that I really have to take a good look and see, am I really happy? And some people are scared about that, right? So they just...
I'm scared to look at my life.
So I may have to make changes so I don't want to. You know?
Before the chaos happened, I was... thinking about like how, again, it's almost conditioning to a degree, like, okay, so you need the job so you can get the things, and it's, we've committed so much time on this path that doesn't necessarily deliver what we actually want.
Yeah.
So like for us to then decide, okay, well, I want to quit my job because I'm not happy there, but that means I can't afford all these things. So you also have to be willing and ready to like, okay, I have to give up some of this stuff now. I have to forego. I'm making a choice. So it's, I think there's like a couple of different things that happens when you choose to learn and grow is you have to, it's, there's a lot of things that will change.
And you know what else? It's the fear that, okay, what will my friends, my family think, right? Because 100%. We've been conditioned that, well, you go to school or not, whatever it is, like you get a job, you stay in the job because you have to take responsibility and you have to, and it doesn't matter whether you're happy or not, right? You just have to go to work.
Well, we're now living society's core values. We're living our parents' core values. We're living our superior work's core values. We're living our children's core values. We're living everybody's core values but our own. And that's why we have to understand our core values.
Yeah.
And that's where, once again, and I'll plug this until we're blue in the face. Do the foundation events.
Yes.
They're free. Come on out. Enjoy them.
Yeah.
You'll learn more about yourself in those four events. That's 8 hours out of your life, or I guess 10 hours. It's just unbelievable, the people that go, why didn't I know this when I was 20? And if you do nothing else except those... you're on the right path. And then you might decide 2 years from now you're ready to grow. You might not be ready yet. But your attachment style, your core values, your personality type, and understand what love is. Because so many people think they're in love. I'm going to do the teaser here. Most of us have what's called fish love.
Fish love!
And when you understand the difference between real love and fish love, you start to go, I was in fish love. I didn't have real love.
I mean, maybe there was potential there. Maybe there was. But again, if you're both dysfunctional and you're not aware of your dysfunction, then it's literally, you can't grow past anything. You're going to get the honeymoon stage, and then once that honeymoon stage is over,
that's it.
You could stay suffering for a few years after that. But
Well, I don't know. What percentage of relationships do you think are codependent?
75%. Maybe higher.
And
once you go through that, maybe you realize, you know what, I don't want to be in a codependent relationship. I just didn't understand what it really
was. Or now I thought that's what it was supposed to be.
I thought my partner was supposed to need me, and I was supposed to need them.
Yeah.
Back to that famous movie line, you complete me.
You complete me,
Which
ruin people's lives.
Obsession isn't a good thing.
You know, when we were talking about the bears, I was just thinking, I want to say it before I forget, about when people hit midlife crisis.
Right.
Usually it's like, also, there's that awakening. Oh my God, I've been living all this time.
Well, there's that word crisis, you know? Right?
Yeah. Oh, crisis.
And,
Well,
and it's not authentic.
But I can explain that. What happens is, we get fed this line when we're kids. right? We're young. Mm-hmm. We're saying, okay, you got to toe the line. You've got to get your, got to graduate.
Yep.
Then you got to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get a job. You'll be happy when you get a job. Then you'll be happy when you get married.
That was literally
and
my
then,
life.
Well, yeah, you're not really going to be happy until get house, you get the kids. And then once you get the house, then you'll be happy. Mm-hmm. And then, so you get to 40, 50 years old. And you get there and you go, okay, I put in all this time and did all this stuff right, and I'm not happy.
Yeah.
And now I'm pissed off.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's what...
Yeah, now we do all the things, like now we're cheating, now we're doing the emotional abuse.
We call it a midlife crisis, but it's not a midlife crisis. It's a realization that all of that didn't matter.
It didn't, And we have that regret. It's like, damn it, if I had known before that I didn't need to do all this, all I needed was, you know, to find who I really am and what my passions are, right?
Well, and then naturally find the way you can contribute back to society, because that's really how it works. What are you actually happy doing? Mm-hmm. How is this contributing to the overall good of our world?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's important.
There's so many people who say, well, I was kind of stuck and I had to go into, like, you know, my parents said that, well, I need to go into the family business just because that's what it is. But I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be, I don't know, a musician or, and then they're stuck all their lives doing things they don't want to do.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's a good conversation. What did we do? Lack of self-discipline?
We did that one.
Yeah, we did.
Well, so, okay, well, did we actually touch on... Oh, self-discipline and self-goals kind of go hand in hand, too. Like, set small goals.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you don't have goals, like, you go nowhere, right? It's like Alice and... You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you've got the fork in the road.
Or you have this, like... Or maybe you have this, like, idealistic scenario in your brain, and... How the hell am I going to reach that? Because you don't have the goals. You have to at least set up the steps.
And I think that people don't visualize very specifically what they want. Sometimes it's very vague. You really have to be very specific about what you want, right?
And that's why those mood boards are fun.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know what? I'm going to buy a car. So I bought a car, and now I'm going to go somewhere. And I want to go somewhere really interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know where. Which way do I go?
Yeah, it's like, okay, where are you going,
Bruce? Okay, I want to drive to Los Angeles, but I don't have a map.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know how to get there.
Which way do I go? Which road do I take? Oh, I guess I'll just take this road.
How long will it take me? Right. Do I need gas in the car?
Oh, I just came to New York City. It's wrong way.
I know. Yeah, I talk often about that. You know, like if you want to go north and you start driving south, you're not going to get north. Yeah. Right?
So that's why you got to have a goal in mind.
Right.
No!
Shh. Focus. Sorry, guys. Lots of interruptions today, but it's okay. This is the ACP podcast.
What about negative or pessimistic attitude?
Well, we kind of talked about that a little bit, right? It's just like the negative self-talk that we have, and also seeing everything...
the negativity bias.
The negative bias, right? Everything is negative. You're always seeing the bad before you see the good.
So,
right?
For those who don't know, just because I know, because I've done the event multiple times now, the negativity bias stems from basically our caveman ancestors.
Yeah.
When they were trying to survive the wilderness, they had to have really good, like, senses to find danger. They had to figure out where the danger was, or else they weren't going to survive. So, of course, by evolutionary standpoint, the people who survived are the people that could point out the danger the quickest. So that means the people that are surviving, aka us, have this ability to
look for the bad.
Look at the negative.
Yeah,
you see the negative instantaneously everywhere.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're going
really
on a trip?
Easy to focus on.
Are you sure? Do you have everything that you need?
Yeah.
You know, like the plane might crash, or right? You're always thinking about what are the little things that can happen,
and so there's a reason for that. So you have to be. That's one of the things we have to be aware of in our brains.
That's why we survived.
Yes, that's why we survived. But guess what? We survived. We're here now. Exactly. We need to change our mental, to, you know, evolve a little bit more.
We don't have a saber-toothed tiger chasing us anymore.
No, we don't. We don't.
But we act like we do.
Yes,
we do.
We do.
Like around every corner, there could be another tiger.
Yeah.
And that's what we're always looking for. We're looking for that tiger around the corner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember when I learned how to drive and I was like, well, you can't go on the highway. I'm like, well,
I have to go on the highway.
I have to go on the highway. Like, I have my license. I know. Like, she said, but it's dangerous. And I'm like, well, I could get hit by it.
Yeah, it's dangerous everywhere, guys.
Yeah. It was just like, then you look towards
that. That's an inherent risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
100%. We're taking the chance.
Yeah,
and it's our choices.
Last one here is lack of support. If you surround yourself with negative and pessimistic people, it's going to drag you down.
It's good. Can you imagine if you want to do growth? It's like, okay, I want to come to SCP. It's one night a week. and your partner is saying, oh, what are you doing again? You know, or they sabotage you saying that they know that's the night. Let's say you come on Wednesday night and that's the Wednesday night that they want to do something else.
Or they make you feel bad because, you were supposed to hang out with me tonight.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure
that's the thing. And
asking for support before is really important, because there's also that fear from partner, the family, that if you grow, that now you're going to change.
Yeah. Well, you are going to change.
You're going to change. And okay, are you going to change and leave me now?
Yeah.
But that's exactly what could happen. That's the problem.
And it could happen.
Like the people have had people talk about, you know, they're putting boundaries in place. And I said, how's it going? She says, everybody's really upset with
me. Yeah. Yeah. But that's because they were relying on you.
The people get mad at you when you put boundaries in place were the people that were taking advantage
of you. That's right. And now they can no longer do that.
And they'll circle around. Once you put your boundaries in place, it'll take some time.
Yep.
You're going to get a few people upset. But then once your boundaries in place, then they're going to treat you differently according to your boundaries, and you're going to get along better, and you're going to be happier.
But you have to stick with it, though.
Right.
Don't give up.
Don't give in.
So
I was going to say, like, that again. So what is love? Is a great event to take for relationships of all kinds, not even just your partner, because you can be in codependent relationships with your parents, with your friends. So if you have if you're codependent in all of your relationships in life, then you try to start changing and start growing. It's gonna cause upset in your entire life, and I mean, but that's okay. That's the whole point, is because you're trying to cause upset so you can live the life you want to live.
Yeah,
you need to change.
You need to shake it up.
Are you happy?
Yeah.
So it's gonna cause a little bit of rift until you work through it.
Well, you'll find some people will fall off, and that's fine. You don't need those people. You need the people that are willing to stick around, willing to change as well, because you're promoting change in them too. It's like, I'm no longer gonna tolerate this behavior. Okay, so what do I have to do so that I don't exhibit this behavior?
Yeah, and it's really important for the people who are listening, if they are in a relationship like that, to understand, because they might say, you know, okay, this is great, ACP, you're saying that I don't need these people around me, but they're my partner.
That's my friend.
You know,
those are my people,
it's my mother, it's my dad, or it's my partner. But the thing is, you have to, you know, get the buy-in, get the support in the sense that, okay, I'm going to do this because this is going to benefit us, right? Showing them and trying to trying to tell them that you kind of need them to support
come
you
through
this
journey.
Come with me on this journey, and this is how it's going. And then you can reassure them a little bit that, wherever it takes us, it's going to be better than what we're doing right now.
Boundaries are going to end up with negative consequences, and that's especially with, say, older parents. And people go, well, my mother and my father is old. They're not really understanding all this stuff. And you just got to put a boundary in place that says, Mom or Dad, if you talk to me this way, then I'm going to leave today, and I'll come back tomorrow, and we'll try again. I love you.
I'm gonna still be here for you.
Here
we're
for
just
you.
Gonna try to.
What
work.
I want to do, though, is it's for my own good. It does not feel good when you talk to me like that, and I'd like to get us past this. So I'm gonna put a rule in place that says, if you do this, then I'm just gonna say thank you, have a nice day, and I'm gonna get up and leave. And you then have complete control over whether or not I stay. And if you, it's just a matter of doing it. And so many people are scared to do it.
Well, they're scared because they're scared to lose the love of their. They think, okay, well, if I do that, they're not going to love me anymore. Like, and with parenting, it happens a lot when now, let's say you have a new baby, and then the grandparents want to tell you how to parent your child, and you're trying to say, hey, this is my child, I want to take over,
thank you,
and they don't know how to do that, but they're afraid that, you know.
Well, that's where, again, self-love comes back into it.
That's right.
You don't need affirmations or love from anybody else except for yourself.
If you love yourself, you don't need that love from them.
Nope.
You go, I love you, I want you, I hope you love me, but I respect myself enough to know that this is not fair to me, so I love you. I'll come back tomorrow. We'll try again.
And I can tell you secretly, I think that if it's a parent, they would admire that. But
they
how do you present it to them?
Right? Well, the thing is to not trigger.
Don't get defensive.
Don't
be tactful.
Don't yell at them and say, you're doing it again. No wonder I have to leave.
Right.
No, that's not going to get in the right road.
That's not
going to
work.
Well, again, going back to the Can We Talk event, that's also brand new that we just hosted. Like, it's how to get into that tough conversation and the ways that you can approach those topics so that, because it's all about preparation. It's making sure that you know what's going on. You've got everything outlined in your head. You know why you're doing it.
You know what you're going to say.
You've got all your emotions out.
Get it all out.
Oh, it was so good.
Was it?
It was so good. Yeah, it's such an important event. Like, it helps, yeah. Again, it's pivotal in all the pieces because now all these people can have the tools to talk about all the things because now we know how to talk about it.
Well, I think that...
Just so everybody knows listening, we just finished the event and Giselle and I haven't hosted it yet. Only Kayla has.
Yeah, yeah. We built it, but
did everything work?
Yeah. It was all very powerful. Like, it makes sense. Like, it's...
Okay,
well, I think that if people can think about, okay, what outcome do you want, right? And what's going to get you there, right? So you want to make sure that
logical,
you use...
tactical approach.
Right? Like, yeah, use the tools that are going to help you to get what you want, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we've hit most of the barriers. Obviously, there's so many barriors. It's so easy
hopefully
to
acknowledge
not do
some
this.
Of yours. Maybe there's barriers that we've touched on that we've triggered
maybe
in you.
Our listeners can... They're thinking, oh, yeah, I did tell my friend to come, and you're not coming because of, you know, which barrier is it, you know, and how can I
help them? And we understand time's a factor. That's why we're trying to make the events as available as possible. Mm-hmm. We do the same that in the Conscious Quest, we do the event 5 times. We're going to try and make more and more times available. Mm-hmm. We can do special groups. If you have groups of 10, we'll figure out how to do special ones if you want to do special times.
But, you know, at the end of the day, though, it is a question of priority and taking responsibility.
Because you can make time for something you really want to do.
Yeah. If you really want to do it, you'll take time, right? Some people will never miss an episode of whatever TV show that they like.
Right.
You know, and
always
sit
down for that.
And sit down for that. So 100%. If it's important to you, you will.
You can do it,
You can do it.
Even if it's just every second week. Right. The Conscious Quest, you can take the events any order you want. There's no structure to them. Or you can set aside 6 weeks and do a program. Yeah. It's 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tuesday nights or Wednesday nights or whatever.
Focus
night
on
it
a
is,
certain area of your life.
To say, I just want to do this for 6 weeks and I can figure out a time to do that and then do another one 3 months from now or four months from now. Mm-hmm. Yep. Just do them in little pieces.
Yep.
But try and start growing. It's just so important.
Yeah. So if you guys like what you're hearing and you support what we do, any and all feedback would be amazing. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening.
I don't want negative feedback.
He says that for every... Oh, if you're going to leave a review, don't make, make it a bad one.
He wants affirmation.
I've never once put my elbows like that.
It's okay. That's what this the people who are listening can't see me. Yeah. But the people who are watching can. It's fine.
Yeah.
So please, if you're on YouTube, please click the subscribe button. You can put on notifications for every time we drop a new episode, which will be every Friday for the foreseeable future. ACPpodcast.com is where our podcast website is, our podcast website where everything is being serviced through. So if you don't have Spotify or any other app listening device, you can just literally go to ACPpodcast.com and it's right on the site.
Yeah.
You can follow us on all your social medias. We have a conscious partner for Bruce. We have ACP Dr. Giselle and ACP Jaggy for me. And our email. Do you want to share an email?
Well, okay, it's all over the website.
It's all over the website.
Bruce to the Conscious Partner and Giselle to the Conscious Partner.
Yeah. And then, we have the website, aconsciouspartner.com. Everything you need to know.
Yeah, I'm still working on the website. I'm still updating it. There's always something.
Yeah, the podcast website.
Everything is just
right
officially launched.
By the time they hear this one, we'll
it's already going to be out. Yeah. It might have changed already multiple times since by the time they hear this episode.
Because it's growth, right? So it changes as we need.
So stagnant, constantly moving. If you like us, let us know. If you want us to talk about something, let us know. Connect with us. We want
to
connect with
you. If somebody wants to talk about a certain subject, I get that all the time. That people say, you should do an event on this. You should do an event. Well, you just said the other day, can we do an event on money? Or finance?
Finance.
I could figure out how to do that.
Yeah, that's the thing is we can just have these conversations too and just like build the event essentially.
And a lot of what we're talking about is about blame, you know,
So yeah, lots of things coming. Let us know if you want to hear something
specific.
That's
your fault, we haven't done that one yet.
Oh my god. Okay, I think you said everything we need to say.
And that I'm secure, I can take it.
Okay, I think we're good.
Well, thank you for listening.
All right, bye guys, thanks for listening.
Bye.